Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. You know, their customer service, even before they were sponsors, was unbelievable. It's one of the reasons I reached out to them and said, I want you to be one of our sponsors on our podcast, because I just believe in their machine so much, and it's just helped our team win so many games. So mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop. It is my baby. It's one of the reasons we're able to keep this free. We're not going to be charging for our podcast or our YouTube channel or anything like that. But it's also run by a high school coach for high school coaches or youth coaches or even college coaches. It's not run by a college. It's not Zoom. It's not all these Zoom calls. It's on court. It's demonstrations. It's videos. It's clinics. It's handouts. It's everything you need to become a better basketball coach in one-stop shop. So if it's not there, I will find it for you. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
And then we want to get the ball to the other side of the court, and then we can look to attack. All right, before right. We jump shot, unless you're wide open, we want to get our feet in the paint. All right, once we get our feet in the paint, that means we penetrated. Now we can dish, now we can kick, now we can get the offense going. So just a couple rules, you know, we adapt.
Simple is better at that age, would I be my guess.
Yeah. I think simple is better at all ages.
Right.
At all levels, you know, except for, you know, you got guys like Tom Izzo, who has like 74 different plays, right?
Tom Crean's worse. Yeah, Tom Crean has like 8 billion. All right, so going back to building a program, so mm-hmm. you talked about some of the key pillars. What else?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, one, you just coaching, teaching is about relationship. One thing I did before I got, and I'm the gym teacher there, so I know the guys and I see them all the time. I took the morning basketball program. So every day, 5 days a week, I open the gym, and I get there early, and I pride myself. That's one of the first things I do for my job. And I'm just like, well, what a great life that I wake up in the morning after I get my kids to school, and there's kids waiting in the hallway.
Right.
Waiting at 7:40. School does not start to really about 8:30. I think they call homeroom. They call homeroom at 8:20. So it's about 10 minutes. And they can't wait, Steve. And it's like, oh, man, I remember.
But you got them, though. That's the thing, is that's what people don't understand, is you got them. Like, you've hooked them. Like,
hooked them.
You know, it's like giving that kid that first book and they get hooked on it and then they want to read more. It's the same thing here. You got them. Now they're going to listen to you. Like, once you hook them.
And the way I run the morning basketball is I'll come in and I'll play music. And we have – two full courts.
Okay.
And it's a we do like a little bit of a tournament. So if you get in early, you go to the full court and you can play full court as long as people are not waiting. And so we, I allow them to play anywhere from 3-on-3, 4-on-4 to 5-on-5.
Usually, I'm a big believer at that age to play a lot more 3-on-3.
I love 3-on-3.
I do too. If you got enough baskets, it's the best game ever.
Yes.
Because you can't hide. Ball. You got to work. You know, 5-on-5, I could – so this, I always use this analogy. I could be on – you put four of the Bucks out there, and then me. Seriously, they could cover me. The four of them could cover the other five guys, and I would just have to – I mean, I'm just saying you can hide. Like, I always tell parent, I always tell coaches, like, in tryouts and stuff, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, because everyone's got to hold – everyone's got to do everything when you're that small. Hopefully that's what I'm hoping will come out of one of the things that will come out of this pandemic is kids won't be able to play 5-on-5. They're going to have to play because the groups are going to be smaller that they're going to be able to get together. So maybe they can play 2-on-2. Great. Mm-hmm. It's going to help their games, I think.
Yeah. And it's funny you said it because I did a charity event to raise money for one of the soup kitchens in the area, and we call it the Hunger Games. And we bring money in, and we try to get creative in Princeton. So, and we had them in different districts, right? So we played off the Hunger Games, and it's a 3-on-3 tournament. And so you play 3-on-3, but you can have up to five guys on your team.
And do you have rules about substitutions and stuff like that, or anything?
They sub themselves. And they realized, they're like, oh, we got five on our team. And they realized, okay, well, two of you guys are not going to be playing the whole time, right? So the eighth graders, the sixth graders always come in because they all want their friends to be together. So they have five on the team. But the eighth graders realized, like, all right, listen, it's just us three. This is our team. We're going to play the whole time. And if you have a district player, that's someone who made the team, someone who made the JW basketball team. Our middle school is called John Witherspoon. And you can only have two district players, or you can get an adult or staff member. So it's a full school event.
I love that.
Played in it, yeah. And so,
and how was that good? Was it a good fundraiser?
Oh, it's great. It's great. And we didn't get a chance to get it in because of COVID. We were going to run it in the spring, but first day of school, kids are there. 7:40. I'm opening the gym. Coach, what date is Hunger Games? I'm like, all right, listen, I haven't even.
I tell people, I always tell people Hunger Games is the epitome of a game. And they go, what do you mean? I go, well, you win or you die.
Exactly. No in between.
There's no in between. It's kind of like when we play Monopoly in our house. You either win or you die. Like, it's like one of those things. No, there's no in between. No one's happy. No one talks to anybody.
There's no one happy at the end of that, right?
Yeah, there's nobody ever happy. So it's like. And they go, well, I never thought. I said, it's a great read, but I said it's Hunger Games. It's like, I love that. That's a great. People are always asking for fundraiser ideas too. You know, our youth program does a free throw thing. I love that.
Yeah,
because what makes it good a fundraiser is they're actually doing something they love to do, and you're raising money.
Yep.
Win-win. Like the free throw one, they're working on their free throws and we're making money. So we do have like a free throw thing where the grandparents will say, we'll give you $1 for every free throw you make or whatever.
We've done that before.
Oh, you know, something like that. I love that better than selling cookie dough. I hate that kind of stuff.
We did a push-up-a-thon.
There you go. You're getting stronger. Yep.
Absolutely.
And that builds programs. Going back to what we were talking about, that builds camaraderie. That builds community, you know?
Yes. I might have got off topic, but
that's okay. Trust me. There's a little bit of the dog from Up in me too. It's like squirrel. If it interests me, I want to talk about it. It's all right. Yeah. No worries.
coming in and opening that gym at 7:40 and seeing those kids, and they know that if they get there early, they get on that full court. So there's an incentive, right? And not only that, they can get more shots up because it's. You wake up in the morning, who knows your journey to school, right? You got a brother, right. Sister, parents yelling at you, maybe you finished your homework, you didn't eat breakfast. And then you go in and you try to play and you have to win because it's a tournament format. So let me finish the format. So there's a full court and I enjoy 3-on-3, but I let the kids play their own game.
Right. Yep.
And that's what keeps them coming, right? They play, they make their own rules, they play their own game, they call their own fouls. The next court is a half court. And so we, again, we prefer 3-on-3. And then the other half of that is I call the basement. So it's the basement, the middle court is just the middle court, and then we have the penthouse. The penthouse
is... So you should call it like the living room or something. It's yeah. the basement, the living room, and the penthouse. Like,
there you go. Yep.
You could put the outhouse in there too, because my dad always said you're either in the penthouse or the outhouse. There doesn't tend to be much of it when you're in the house, you know.
I started with the outhouse, and then the parents, oh, you put my kid in the outhouse.
I like the basement though. It's like, you know what it is? It builds like the premise of, you know, you got to build a foundation before you build a house. You got to pour the cement, blah, blah, blah. It's like all that community. It's all kind of, I love that. It's all kind of.
I love how you grasp it. Cause you know, yeah. Sometimes you can tell you're a basketball junkie. You love this stuff.
I do love this stuff. Too much sometimes. As it says back here, what does it say? I think we interrupt this marriage during your basketball season. My wife would go, there's no interruption. It's just a constant interruption. What are you talking about?
Awesome. So I had a year and a half of watching these kids grow in middle school. They grow. I'm like, this kid was, 4'2". And now he's taller than me in right. a year, right? They grow 5-6 inches sometimes. And then I give them tidbits. And me being the varsity coach before, and we actually had really good – we had some really good teams. We went to a sectional final, and we won 4 division titles in 5 years. So when I came to the middle school, they were like, oh, my God, Coach Carter's here.
Right.
And
like, why did you leave the high school to go to the middle school?
I don't know if we have enough time for that story.
Okay. Was it a choice or was it not a choice?
It was not my choice.
Okay.
And the administration, we're not seeing eye to eye. I wanted, when I took over the program, they had not been to the playoffs in 15 years.
Right.
And they hadn't won.
Right.
In my first year, we made the playoffs. My second year, we went to a sectional final. And the next, 4 years, we won division title.
Right.
4 division titles. And we were gaining a lot of attention. And I don't think they wanted that. And in basketball, especially in Princeton, basketball, it's late. You know, games are at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Right.
And, that brings in a lot of excitement, a lot of commotion. Our stands were packed.
Right.
And it brought in more trouble. They were like, we were better when our team wasn't good.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I didn't know if it was family based too, because you have a young family. It's hard to balance.
It actually worked out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a clip of my wife dragging both my sons and carrying one of those baby strollers
right.
On video. And she's just like, are you ever going to help me with my two sons, 9 and 10, are 13 months apart. And
okay.
I was doing this while I was coaching hoops.
Right. It's hard. That balance is hard.
So in the end, it was the best thing for me.
Yeah. It's a good balance. All right. So let's keep going. So anything else you want to share as far as building a program and stuff?
Coming to the middle school, so I had that
morning thing.
Yeah, I had the morning thing, and I guess I had the credibility from the kids, and I would give them little tidbits. I said, hey, I've been watching you, and instead of taking that 12-foot shot fake, still a shot fake, and you can take a layup, and another big comes in. Go underneath, up and under, do a reverse layup, or you can also pass it, So
right.
Instead of selling for the shot, and then a kid would do it, but hey, coach, that worked. That really worked, And so word would get around, and I would just give them, a little bit of advice, but not that much. Because I, for me, at that age, I think you learn by doing. I think probably you learn by doing it at any age.
Right.
So what I did was I started to gain their trust in that morning thing. So I don't want to carry too long, but I gained their trust. I developed a relationship, and I established myself as credible.
Right.
And I think when you're building a program, lucky for me, I had those opportunities. I think those are three things that you must have if you are going to build a program. You got to have good communication and build those relationships. You got to have trust, and they have to believe in you.
The more and more I talked about coaches about this, it's like, if you're going to convince them to go to storm Normandy, you got to convince them that it's a cause that's worth fighting for. And it's similar. I'm not comparing basketball to D-Day, but I am kind of, but it's similar in the sense that if you want them to storm the beach, they have to be wanting to fight for you. And it's in the only way they're going to do that is they love you. And there's that relationship, and that's an underlying toe that over the last month and a half that I've seen. And I've always thought this anyway, that it's about relationship building. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it is.
But I had to learn that. I had to learn that through trial and error. Because that was not the way I was coached.
No. And the thing is, when you're young, you tend to think it's more about the X's and O's and can I run this specific offense and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've said this on a couple podcasts this month. It's like I used to think it was 80-20, 80%, you know, coaching and 20%, you know, relationships. I think it's the other way.
Yeah.
I think it's 20% the X's and O's.
I agree.
And then it's 80% of do they believe what you're selling them? Because if they don't believe what you're selling them, it doesn't matter. Because you're not going to win the big one. You might win, but you're not going to win the ones you need to win.
I agree. And that 80%, you know, are they going to stay late? Are they going to come early?
Right.
Are they going to work on their own? Are they going to study film when you're not around? You know, and if that's only 20%, yeah, you're right. They're not going to put the extra effort in.
They're not.
Because every coach has the two-hour slot. And that's what I try to explain. What separates myself from other coaches is that, everyone has that two-hour slot. Everyone has 22 games.
Right. Okay?
But out of the 365 days, how many days are your guys touching the basketball? Right? Outside of the season. How many times are your guys studying tape outside of practice? You know, how many miles are your guys running to get in shape before preseason? Right? Those are the really good coaches that get those guys to do that.
It's that little bit extra. Yeah.
I agree. And you can't, obviously, you're a coach, you would tell them to do it. But that's not your job there. Your job is to influence them and encourage them.
Championships aren't won in those 2 hours. They're contained in that 2 hours, but they're won like right now. Like at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Someone's doing something, that's when they're won because no one's watching. Yep. So to
build off of that, I think, you know, to have parent support. So, you know, maybe a couple good dads that been around the game.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Maybe they'll take a team and play fall ball. And trusting them, you know, and being able to communicate, say, hey, listen, I know, you know, you went to Dartmouth and you ran the wheel, but, you know, I'm comfortable running, the flex. So.
Right. And this is something for the young coaches too. Don't get caught up too much on the summers. I mean, the correlation, and this is the stats teacher, I mean, the correlation between what you do in July and the specific offense you run and what happens in January, they're not that closely related.
I agree.
To be honest with you. People worry way too much about that stuff.
I agree.
Are they playing hard and are they listening?
And do they like each other?
Yeah. That's more than if you run the offense exactly right. Trust me, you're throwing them on a tournament. They're going playing four games in a weekend. Yeah, people put too much stock in that, in my opinion. Way too much stock in it.
I agree.
Yeah. Because the correlation, they forget it. Like by August, they're thinking about their girlfriend. They're not thinking about playing in July, kind of thing.
I know. And just to get them to play when it's hot.
Yeah.
You know. And one of the things you speak of July. One of the things that we did that was unique that they don't do anymore is I had my varsity guys or guys that were going to play varsity. A lot of times those guys played JV. I had them in the men's league, in the summer men's league in our town that my coach, Doug Snyder, started. And we would win one game. And we were like, all right, listen, we have to win one game. And the men, they knew, they're like, all right, this high school team, they're not good, but they usually win one game, and please don't let that be against us. Right. One game we'll come out and we'll make some shots. You right. know how it is.
I'm not going to be showed up. Yeah, I don't want to be showed right. up. Yeah, yeah.
But what I liked about having the young guys in the men's league and the moms were against it. I was like, oh my gosh, my 15-year-old son is going against, he's 6'8". He played. I mean, sometimes we play against guys that played in college.
Right. And they're men. Like
they're men.
They're men. Yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah. But the young college guys sometimes, because they're trying to get after it, they don't get it sometimes. I'm like, all right, this is a kid. He's just trying to learn. Like, you don't have to throw an elbow in his chest. Oh, that's what they did.
Yeah. I'm going to teach him how to be a better human being. And it's like, all right, you're really not. So true.
But that's how I learned. That's how I grew up.
No, I did too. It's like, I mean, I'm in Madison. And it's like, I'd go down to the UW, you know, and you'd get your crud beat out of you by some, you know, guys that used to be good, but now they're two steps slow kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
We used to have a game called Lois Gets Snuck.
Okay.
It was every man for himself up to 35, so kind of like 21 or Oklahoma. You ever play that?
Yep.
And if you had the lowest score, everyone was allowed to punch you in the chest.
Not sure that would work now. Yeah.
These are your friends, by the way.
Yes. That's funny.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been studies showing that if kids go to a playground and play, they'll even the teams out because they want it to be competitive.
Really? Like, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. If you send like 10 kids, there's been studies, educational studies, that's the problem with parents over-scheduling right now and doing everything for them. Like, it was like a whole sandlot baseball thing and basketball in the sense that, so let's say you put 10 kids on a court and say, go play. They're going to try to balance it because they don't want to put all the five good ones on one team in the bat because they know who's relatively good and who's not.
You haven't seen my morning basketball club.
Because it's no fun if you win every game by a lot. After a while, it becomes boring.
Well, yeah. I agree. I agree on the theory. But in the morning basketball, my little program.
Is it the king of the court, though?
Yes, that's the problem.
Let's say if it's not king of the court, the king of the court's different in the sense that if you win, you get to keep playing. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to stack it. But if it's like if you just put 10 kids on that court and you said go play for an hour, they would balance it out. Because for an hour, they're going to play. They don't want to win every game for the next hour. That's no fun.
Yeah.
That's not competitive. Da, da, da. But king of the court's different in the sense that I want the best team because I want to keep playing.
Yeah.
So there's this that was part of it.
I've actually seen that study. It's when the challenge is either too high or the challenge is too low.
Right. Yeah.
There's no flow.
Yeah, like a kid can't hit a curveball. Well, they're gonna do something like he gets extra pitches and because they want the game to keep moving. Otherwise, it's not enjoyable for him. You know, you stop playing then and do something else. Yeah. All right, Cole, keep going, Coach. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, this is great. This is awesome. I've missed this because there's no sports.
Right.
The only thing I've watched is The Last Dance. Have you been watching that?
I have. I'm a couple behind, though. So. Okay.
All right, I'm not going to ruin it.
Don't ruin it. Don't say. I mean, I've lived it, but don't ruin it. Yeah.
I'm glad that my kids are getting able to get a glimpse. I was like, I don't think you guys.
A glimpse of his greatness is what I'm telling people. Yes. People don't have any sense of how good he really was. They just know his shoes are cool. Yeah.
And how good Rodman was.
Yeah. Rodman he found a niche. He found a role. That was the key with him.
And so I guess that brings me to the next thing of building a program. So, I don't like to waste time. I don't like to waste our space, you know, when we're training in season, try to establish relationships, try to build trust and the players and in the families as well. They have to know that I mean well. And,
right.
And I've gotten better at that, and because I have my own kids, you know, and I'm like, listen, I get it. Yeah, he's not. I need him to be at practice on time, and if he's not doing things right, I'm going to be on him. And guess what? He's going to start picking up his shoes, you know, and he's going to start cleaning
at home. Yeah,
at home. All right. And so when he says yes, coach, or yes, sir, or whatever, he's going to say yes, dad. Wouldn't that be nice? And they're like, ooh,
that would be nice. Yeah.
So, you know, this is not just for me, because he's going to go home and, oh, Coach Carr doesn't like me. Listen, I love you. That's why I'm putting this effort in to try to help you. And guess what? Some coach did that for me as well.
Right. And that's, yeah. And the thing is, you got to try to, what I tell him, you got to try to get the parents as allies too. I think sometimes young coaches think these parents are like, I mean, it's easier to over communicate and get them as an ally than try to not, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, you know, the game has changed so much where the parents, they're so specialized, because it sounds like you and I may have grown up playing everything. Is that right?
I did.
I you just have that vibe that, you know, you talk about baseball and basketball, and as you know, I played football and soccer, you know, I coached lacrosse, so just grew up playing everything, you know. You
look, which made you a better competitor, which I think part of what we're losing right now, to be honest with you, it made you a better competitor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And problem solver, you know, just figure it out. What was I getting at? I lost my train.
That's okay. We were talking about like playing multiple sports.
Yes. And being specialized. Thank you for bringing me back.
Yep.
And you know, these parents, they're like, oh, well, you know, Johnny, he plays in this league and he plays against this player and he plays full time. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably not the best for him.
Right.
It's probably not the best for Johnny to be playing basketball year round. And then, you know, I don't know who's coaching him. I don't know, you know, who he's playing against, you know, but he's, you know, he's a little bit behind on some of the concepts versus this other kid who only plays basketball during the season, but he plays, you know, high level soccer, plays high level baseball, and he goes to tournaments all over this, you know, all over the state in the summer playing all three.
Right.
Yeah. And then he comes in the season and he's like, hey, coach, I'm a little rusty, but he understands how to dissect the 3-on-2. He understands how to help the helper, right? Fill the gap. He understands when the timing of a pass. And so, you know, Steve Nash calls that physical literacy. And so try to develop physical literacy where they can understand. You like that term?
I do like that term.
Yeah, I throw that around when I can. He says that there's a specific age in which, I guess, 6 to 7 is when they can start really getting developed, and then to about 12 years old. So that's where I'm at now, about middle school. And if you can do like 10 things, if you can do these 10 things, now you're going to be ready to be a really good competitor, and no matter what you're doing. So football, basketball, all these different sports, they have these certain situations, right? A 1-on-1, a 2-on-1, a 3-on-2, a 4-on-2. You know, you're going on a fast break with a trail, right? Or someone's coming in on an angle. And so reading the angles and reading the play. And so you only get that by multiple reps, and also, you know, different sports. I'm a firm believer in that.
I am. And the studies have shown, especially at the young, like your kid's age right now, they should play multiple sports. It's an injury prevention thing. And it's also a, you know, motor skill thing.
That's what I mean by the physical literacy, the motor skill.
It's motor skill. It's like people underestimate that motor skill that, you know, and bodies like Giannis and LeBron and stuff are so big too that, you know, I think I read somewhere LeBron spends almost $1 million a year on his body.
I believe that.
Yeah.
He's got, I've seen some of his specific trainings. He's intense.
Yeah, it's crazy, in my opinion. Yeah, uh-huh. It's but I think he does that because he knows it's he's doing the same things over and over again. Uh-huh. That's the issue. Absolutely. Okay, what else, Coach, on building a program?
Yeah, so I think you got to have good practices. You know,
okay, what do you mean by good practices?
So, one.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're going to leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.